Hey, y'all, this is Heather McFadyen.
And Cynthia Yanoff.
Welcome to season one of Sidetracked. What you're about to hear originally aired on the Don't Mom Alone podcast.
And so for your convenience, we've put all of our Sidetracked episodes in one place. So enjoy.
Enjoy.
That's too far.
You better take that out because is that one of your sponsors?
I was going to say the ones who smell bad.
Okay.
Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadyen, and this is still the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode, number 499,
scratch that, 449,
we're getting sidetracked with my friend, Cynthia Yanoff. She's the host of the Mesmerize podcast, and the first Friday of every month, right here on Don't Mom Alone, we get sidetracked with some topic. Well, this month we're getting sidetracked with Cynthia's new book, Life is Messy, God is Good. We can all agree that there's always something in life that's popping up and shaking us up, and circumstances can be hard. But thankfully, the sentence doesn't end there for those of us who believe in a holy God who is good and loving. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to laugh along the way, as always. And it is the month of love, being February, so we'll get into some of our Valentine's memories here. Don't forget, too, you could join Cynthia and I next month on the podcast if you pre-order Cynthia's book and fill out the form. We're going to be picking a winner soon here, so y'all, if you listen to this the Friday it comes out, this weekend, please enter. Cynthia's book comes out February 6th, so pre-order a copy, enter to win, and we hope you get to join us on the show. All right, you ready? You tracking? Let's get right to it. Here we go. My question is, you said that people are telling you they listen to the sidetrack because it's a guilty pleasure.
Yes, I've had a couple of people tell me it's a guilty pleasure. And I don't know if it's because the content's that bad. It feels like a complete...
You're doing something wrong.
Right.
I think that welcome to Sidetracked. This is your guilty pleasure. Does this sound good?
It's a guilty pleasure.
You can't do it, but my voice is better.
Okay.
Nice and sultry.
It is sultry. What'd you have anyway?
I don't know. I never went and got tested.
Well, thanks for coughing on me over there.
What did you have?
I had COVID last week. And
we're 4 years past and it's still a naughty word. Talk about guilty.
That's a guilty pleasure. I'm going to tell you something I need to know right now.
Yeah.
I think there's an addiction issue I'm dealing with. And I need to know if there is an Afrin Anonymous.
We've talked about your Afrin addiction. It's still happening?
Well, no, I quit.
No. It was not you. It was someone I was listening to, and they used it for 30 years.
Oh.
This was a comedian. It was the guy I went and heard in Fort Worth.
Nate, what's his name?
Bergatsky. His dad, literally. He'd been using it for 30 years.
Okay, well, I appreciate that you confused me with Nate. That's all cool. But
But yes, you can be addicted.
Okay, well, I know. I don't need you to. You don't tell an addict that you can get addicted when they're already an addict. So I had the COVIDs, and I mean, snotting to high heaven. And nobody cares, right?
Thank you.
And what's unfortunate about that is, so Mike was sleeping upstairs, as one would when you have COVID. He came through to take a shower, he said, one morning. And he's like, you were snoring like knock down the walls snoring.
You're because like, I'm just trying to breathe.
I was so congested. So I started the Afrins.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something. Then the next night I need Afrin, and then the next night. So I've been, you know, I just got back in town. I've been in Nash for a few days and
The Nashville.
And I did not take my Afrin, and there's some withdrawals. And then let me see one other thing.
What's a withdrawal of Afrin? What happens to you?
You snot up at night and then you can't breathe. And you're like,
well, that doesn't feel like it.
I mean, I wasn't shaking and in a corner.
I was wondering, like, for your next hit.
Okay. But with you being sick, I think you're going to appreciate this too. Yeah. I don't want us to have false gods and I don't want us to have idols. But if I were to have an idol, it would be Mucinex.
What?
Oh, I love Mucinex.
I'm a NyQuil, DayQuil girl.
You like the alcohol content.
Is that right?
I think so.
There is? No.
Yeah, there is. There really is.
All of the crunchy ladies, are totally getting the DMs ready.
Oh, they're sending it to you. And they're like, there's red dye 14 in it.
Don't worry. I did the elderberry and sambucol, and I did ginger, and I love beet juice. Is that going to help me?
That's gross.
Beets. You love beets?
Huh.
You know, the beets.
I know what a beet is. I bet that
pickled beets.
Does it shoot through you?
No, it's so good.
Okay, well, listen, everyone.
All this healthy, that's great, but also I'd like to sleep, and you would like to sleep, and breathing is important. Do you have a CPAP?
Not yet. Afrin's Anonymous is where I'll be if anyone needs me.
It does work, AA.
I don't have.
We're not making fun of AA. We're not making
out. No, everyone. Save your emails. Send them to Heather McFadden.
I believe in AA and Al-Anon, but this is real. You can get it. You got to be careful.
Okay, thanks.
Use it sparingly. Again. Is that helpful?
Yeah, that's helpful. Okay, well, listen. I want everyone. Welcome to the podcast where now we're at the age where we talk about our ailments. We have those good friends that have a really successful podcast that they talk about football.
This is, our friends.
This is going to be the one where we come to hear us talk about, because, you know, I think I talked about my plantar fasciitis on here one time.
Totally.
And I diagnosed someone.
And lactose and gluten and.
Oh, I wish. I don't have any of that, but I'm going to start that.
Okay, but I do have a surprise for you.
Oh, I love it.
Because this is a big month.
You guys.
I mean, not only have people told us they listen to us because it's a guilty pleasure, they've also been entering to be on the show.
Yes, we had that competition.
When you listen to this, it's still open for just a couple days. We're going to pick a winner.
And so what you're literally doing is buying a book, and then you tell us you bought a book and put the number, and then you can be on Sidetracked with us. And
we're picking a winner, and it's out of, what are we up to now? 40 people?
Yes.
1 in 40 chance
that you can do this.
Totally.
We got a few people that are like, I didn't buy a book. I'm just submitting
it. Whatever, people. Buy the book. It's amazing.
Thanks.
Okay. And the book is called
Life is Messy.
God is Good. And I have a surprise for you. You ready?
I'm
I have to leave my chair. Hold, please.
Oh, okay.
Play some music. Sing a song.
Life is messy.
In honor of your book, I painted my number, the book cover. And it's a little messy, and I felt like that was appropriate.
No, is it really a paint my number?
Yeah.
Totally. You guys.
You can see the numbers right there.
Oh.
I ordered it. I sat right there. I watched New Girl, and I painted.
Heather, this is the biggest act of love that I've gotten in a long time.
Oh, I thought it was better than a cookie.
It's fabulous. And especially it feels like, remember when I made fun of you for something, and then you said
for like needlepoint or crocheting. Yeah, I was going to crochet a bow.
And then I made fun of you for paint my numbers, and now I got like the benefit of it. That's so nice. Thank you.
Bob would be proud.
Ross, everyone.
When they sent it, it's a little bit down. They could have cropped it a little different, but the good is getting cut off. It's fine.
That's how I feel like my life has been recently. The good's been kind of cut off.
It's a little bit cut off.
It's apropos.
Right on the edge. Right on the edge. But
y'all, this is, okay, listen, everyone.
Yeah.
If you buy a book and enter our competition, we will send you a picture. The paint by number.
You can get your own paint by number kit of Cynthia's book cover. It's harder than you think, and they actually sent 24 different colors.
You wouldn't think
there's that many colors, but there are 24 different colors in that picture.
What's it called? The colors, like the pan something. What are those called?
Pantone color of the year.
Like, did you have to have the Pantones for that?
Or they just do. They know.
Gosh,
it. I have all the paints if you want to work on it more.
You guys, Heather, thank you.
You're so welcome.
I mean, it is book day in a few days, and like,
how you feeling?
You know what, I'm so thankful. Like, I know this is not what you're searching for, but I'm so thankful for you, because I literally don't know a dang thing about the book business. Like, you know what, like, I have a law degree, people. I don't know much. Like, I know the law. Who uses that anymore?
Well, and it changes all the time. What could be true even when I released my first one is changing.
I have to call you. I literally had to ask you how we set up a competition.
The Google Forms.
You're like, it's a Google form. I'm like, a Google form. And so then I tell one of my kids, I'm like, did you know that there's Google Forms? And they're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But so how am I feeling? I would say, listen, you know, it's like when you bring a baby in the world, like, you're like, listen.
Is it people compared? Do you feel like?
A little bit. I'm just like, I'm not really worried about if people are going to call my baby ugly. I mean, it is what it is. But you are bringing this baby in the world. You're like, I'm putting out like, and mine has a lot of personal stuff in it, like stories and my family and all this. And I'm like, I'm putting it out in the world. And you and know this more than anybody, but like people, you guys, nobody's other than like maybe Grisham and all them. Like people aren't in this business because you're making all this money and stuff. That's no.
If you do a time dollar averaging.
I should be at the law firm.
But well, yeah.
This is just one of those where like, you know, the Lord calls you to do this and you just want to steward this message so well and you want it to get to the right people. And I think that's, I'm at that point where I'm just like, listen, I just want the Lord to do, I just want to have stories on the other side of how the Lord was so good and faithful to get the message out and that people know him better. Who cares about me, right? Or whatever. Like, I just want people to know him better. My hope is that it's, and I think it is, but that it's really funny. And it's one of those things where you can laugh, but then have truth in it. And it's something that would mean something to you and to me, but like, it's something I could give my friend that I'm like, I'm not sure. Are we walking with God right now? Like,
yeah.
I just wanted to like transcend some barriers in there and not just be somebody in those books you and I read are like, this is the truth and this is how it does it. And there isn't like one.
It's like
recipe.
A bridge to putting feet to the truth. Yeah. And because life is messy. That resonates, right? We get that.
Yeah.
This is our circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you and I, we did the episode for January and we're like, this is what 2024 is going to be all about. And then I feel like 2024 hit, I don't know about me. I feel like it hit me like a ton of bricks with, I feel like my kids have been home a ton and then you and I both get sick. But you've been dealing with, tell us about all the mess of this last year. Because, I mean, we've hinted at it in some episodes, right. But like, this is a reality of life.
It is a reality of life for all of us. Like book writing or not, when you're trying to do the things for the Lord and you're just
or
trying,
just living your life.
Like it's
even
like,
if you're outside, that's true. Like not even trying to do. Like I think people can resonate who don't even know Christ yet. Like they can resonate with, man, life is hard.
No,
and
I
life
think
is
for sure you can. I guess what happens to me is that when I feel like I'm doing the things the Lord's called me to do, then I think things are going to get smoother. And that's just not
An A plus B is going to equal this reward C. Like,
right. Yeah. And this has been a hard season. And so that's why I was saying, like, I'm so thankful for you because you've been, yes, you do know Google Forms and I do appreciate that about you and you paint my number. But I also like have had just these moments of being able to call me like, this is hard. Or like, I don't know how to manage this. Or is this weird? Like, I don't want this to be about me. And you're like, okay, this is very normal. Or you need to get used to this or don't let that hurt your feelings. And it's really been nice to have someone in your world that can do it. But this fall was really hard. We've alluded to that without being too serious. Because listen, it's nobody's guilty pleasure if I'm going to go on a tirade about how hard
don't
the Yanoff
make people
house.
Cry.
Everyone,
guilty pleasure.
Sit back. It's
getting
really
sit back.
Boring.
Cynthia, tell us a moment about your fall.
Yes, right. But it has like literally this fall, every single, I feel like everything. I mean, you know, one of my kids started having just like crippling anxiety, which this child had never had before. And I was just, you know, one of those things. And I've never walked that road. And that was brutal as a mom, brutal for the kid. But, and then, you know, just everything from that's like our dog died. I didn't even know I liked dogs. And we talked about that. But you know, our dog died and that was hard and hard on my kids. And I was so sad about that. And then, you know, my husband, he's had some changes in his law firm. And so that
you had eye surgery and your eye like swelled.
I totally, shut. I had skin cancer on my head and that had to have all this stuff done and my eye was swollen shut. And it's just been like, I know someone's listening. It's like, ooh, poor you. But
we do not compare.
We don't compare. It's just been a lot. We have Brett totaled his truck. I mean, you guys, the cherry bomb. Nobody saw that coming, the cherry bomb. And so I just feel like as we've walked this, you were funny. You said this to me and I was like, yeah. And I think we mentioned this maybe before, but you were like, when you write a book sometimes or whatever your thing is, like sometimes, you know, the Lord's like, we're going to live that message. Mm-hmm. And I've lived this message like life is messy. I'm looking over at your sign.
You're like, what was it called again?
What's the name of this book again? Yeah. Life is messy. And I feel like I've lived that. And on the other side of it, like God is still good. And I love that's still my, like in my deepest soul, all I know is to be authentic. You guys know that. Sadly, I say too much. I say what I think. But in my deepest heart of hearts, I can walk on the other side of this message and say, even when it feels like the bottom is falling out, in almost every area, it feels like it's fallen out in the last 6 months. Like, God has still been so good and real and present. And I'm just so grateful for that.
Well, and that's the key. Because I told you as I was, you didn't know I was painting, but I was watching New Girl. And
who's she? Who's the New Girl?
Zooey Deschanel. Come on.
She dates a property brother.
Now she's married to him.
Oh,
But in the show, and you know, people, it's young 30-year-olds. There's, I mean, pretty much every episode it's, you know, drinking and sex, whatever. Yada, yada. We're not talking about that. But she has this whole, like, life is messy moment. She's literally telling all her friends, life is messy, and she's going on a rampage. But here's the deal. She didn't end it with God is good. This is the, so then what do we do? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we have a God, a divine being who is unchanging. He can't not be good. Mm-hmm. And he can't not work on our behalf. And so do the circumstances change all of a sudden? Like you're saying, like, if I follow the rules and if I'm obedient and if I'm doing his work, surely blessing will follow. Well, blessing doesn't necessarily mean change in circumstances.
Right.
It means support, grace, love as you walk through the messy mm-hmm. life.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, we know biblically that we have God's favor. Like, we are his favor. But I like favor when favor looks like a new job opportunity. Yeah. I like it when it means like great book sales. I like it when my kids are all doing the right things. Like, I enjoy that kind of God's favor. But so often God's favor doesn't in the moment look mm-hmm. favorable. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about, like, obviously Mary's pregnant with a baby and she's engaged, mm-hmm. like biblically speaking, or Abraham, leave everything and move your family to another place. You're going to be a father of many nations. Well, we have fertility issues. Like, how's that going to mm-hmm. work? You think of all these places, Noah, like, what did he give up to build an ark? His wife's got to be like, you lost your mind. In the moment.
Yeah.
So often that favor doesn't feel favorable. And I think that's been kind of a message of, in the middle of the mess, like, we don't have to curate our lives and make everything look a certain way. We want a theology that lines up with our reality. And so I want a faith that on Sunday morning, I hear something and it lines up with what I'm living Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And I think the thread in there is that life is messy. We don't have to clean it up for it to be a God moment. But in the midst of that, that's what I hope the takeaway. In the midst of that, we see these pieces of God and we get new glimpses of him and we know him better on the other side of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's how you get, I mean, I've never seen New Girl. I don't even know who New Girl is, Zoe. But I mean, I want to be like, yes, like, how hopeless. No wonder.
It's hopeless.
How hopeless if life is messy and it's crumbling and you aren't able to put the other half of that sentence in there. God is good, right? Yeah.
Okay. I know that I can make fun of crunchy or granola or healthy people. And then you're like, but Heather, I thought that was you. Yes. Okay. I do appreciate a clean beauty product, but I also love when products work. And that's why I'm so thrilled that we get to partner with Thrive Cosmetics, because I know they're certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free and clean and skin-loving, and all their ingredients are fantastic. And they have thousands of 5-star reviews because they're high-performing products. They have the most amazing Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara. It lasts all day without clumping or smudging or flaking, which is a common problem for me with every other mascara. It looks like I have lash extensions because it's not damaging my lashes, and it comes off so easily that I don't break them when I'm removing the mascara. It just slides off with water and a washcloth because they have this flake-free tubing formula. It's trademarked, y'all. It lengthens, it defines, and it has nourishing ingredients which support my lashes growing stronger and getting healthier. So if you want to join me, I would love for you to try out Thrive Cosmetics, because not only are you going to experience a great product that's clean and vegan, they give back. For every product purchase, Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive. I love knowing that not only is it doing good for my body, making me look good, but doing good for our communities and helping us all live better lives. So right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/DMA. That's Thrive Cosmetics, and it's spelled out CAUSEMETICS.com/DMA for 20% off your first order. Yeah, you just keep striving and trying, and maybe this will work. And okay, so someone gets the book, and it's, y'all, chapters filled with funny stories of real messy things, mm-hmm. and then the truth of God's character. What is your favorite chapter?
Okay, I mean, it's funny because no one's asked me that yet. And I feel like I've done a lot of interviews. So I love that. I've got an underdog chapter. I mean, a couple of them that I really like. There's one on friendship. There's one on teaching my 16-year-old to drive that I think is hilarious that I laughed hard at writing and all that. But I wrote one about my dad. And my dad is super funny. I think I get my sense of humor from him. If you think I'm funny, if you don't think I'm funny, then false alarm on that. But my dad's super funny. And I'm just going to tell you one story from.
Yeah.
My dad, I have twin brothers. They're older. They're twins. I'm not. So they're 4 years older. How do you say that? I have twin brothers. I have brothers that are twins.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. So when they were.
Because you'd be triplets if you were.
Yeah, that's good math.
In there.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So when they were little, they were just like, it's like the groovy old days where they barely car seated them. I don't think they did car seat people.
Oh, right. Bruce was in a station wagon and like a playpen in the back.
Same.
Yeah.
And so my dad was just losing his mind because my brothers were and are wild and loud and big personalities.
Yeah.
And so my dad was like, I'm done. And so my dad used to like own car dealerships and or run and then owned eventually car dealerships. And so whenever a car would come through that kind of caught his eye, like he would buy it. And so he bought a new car, a family car for my mom, but he didn't run it by her. But he's like, this is going to solve all the problems of our family dilemma. And so he bought it and he called her. He's like, I bought you a surprise, kind of like my paint my number. And so my mom's like, oh, okay. And so he pulls up and like does the Hong Kong and she comes out with like a baby on each hip. And she looks out there at this car and she's like, he bought, are you ready for this?
No.
He bought a funeral hearse. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's a long funeral hearse because it had the retractable window. And he's like, you put them back there. You can put the pack and play. You can put the sleeping bags and you roll up the window. Done. And I mean, true story.
And my mom kept it.
No, she didn't even, not even a drive around the block. She's like, that goes back immediately. And I love it.
That totally sounds like something my dad would have done. Like, that's so amazing. That's crazy. Amazing.
Isn't it amazing? Yeah. I know. So
that's like an I Love Lucy episode.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes. Like we could make this when we do our production company, we'll make a sitcom out of that.
Yeah.
But
our tour should be in a Hertz.
Oh, the Hearst tour. Heather's.
What were we going to do?
Heather's
it
Hearst. We're a trailer park tour.
Trailer park tour. Yeah.
That's okay.
That's okay.
But yeah.
So what would be God's character in that story?
Okay, so I guess what I kind of go on and talk about my dad and how my dad has just always loved people well. But my dad is not one that has big words or big gifts. Like he doesn't show up and like.
Besides it hurts.
Well, he didn't hurt. That was a real yeah. bad gift. But my dad, like he just always loved us very tangibly. But I don't have like a lot of notes from him, like in college and how much he missed me. And when I still see him, I don't get the huge hug and I love you so much. I mean, yes, he's told me he loves me, but. He does it through these things like fixing the drain in my house and trying to problem solve, walking around with my babies when they're little during dinner so we could eat. Just these small, tangible things. And I think in the chapter, I just talk about how we think love has to be this kind of more extravagant, like very tangible, touching, whatever kind of thing. And how my dad just taught me love by the everyday, just being there and being present in the everyday. My mom, used to be in the handbell choir. We're Baptist in the day. And
oh my gosh, my favorite memory of being Baptist was being in the handbell choir.
The handbell choir.
Fifth grade. And then we switched churches.
Oh, is it devastating?
Literally one of the greatest traumas of my life is having to give up, which is sad. I don't have a lot of trauma. But I loved handbell choir.
No, well, don't say that.
I do.
Edit that out.
That and crocheting.
Edit it out.
Why?
We just lost the five people that listen to this. Oh. Handbell choir and crochet.
It's so fun. Ding.
Oh, she's got her bells up at her chest doing it. Okay,
so she's in
my mom was
choir.
In the handbell choir. This yes, is one other quick was. Thing from this
Love
chapter.
Her. Tracy, just to clarify, handbell choir is a group of people. They are each assigned a note bell. Each bell plays yes. a note. And so you might get two. Mm-hmm. If you're really good, you might get three or four and you put them down and pick up the next one.
Yeah, you do.
But you're all practicing and playing a song by holding these bells up against your chest. I'm holding fists right now up against my chest, elbows bent. And then you ding the bell out and pull it back to quiet.
I'm glad you're laughing about this. I'm realizing.
It's so fun. You know, Providence has it as a elective. Kids do. I'm so mad. None of my boys have ever done it.
That'll get you
one more boy that can maybe
get
do
you
it.
A wedgie in the cafeteria.
But Tracy, yeah, you should definitely okay. go check out a good handbell choir.
My
concert.
Mom and dad were at this small church in a small town. When I was tiny, and in small town in New Mexico, and they lived there, and the church was just dead as can be. And so their little like community group, nobody called it that. What they call it? Their Sunday school group.
Sunday school.
Whatever.
Class,
their Sunday yeah. school class would get together and pray that the Lord would just like set this church on fire, like just give them a new passion. The church caught on fire.
No.
The church burned down. Talk about a quite literal answer to a figurative prayer. I mean, I don't think the Lord did that, but the church catches on fire. They're there. They get the fire out. My mom's like, the handbells. So my dad goes in there. And it started off like all my years ago, like it was like just a little bit of water on the floor from, you know, it was winter and the whatever's had gone off, the sprinklers and all that. Now it's like he swam through the basement to get them. So it's gotten better.
The story has grown.
It's okay. grown. But anyway, so he went and got the handbells. He brings them out because they were from England and whatever. He brings them out and he missed one. And my mom was like, oh no. And I mean, a handbell choir, you have not if you're missing a bell.
Oh, what if it's C? Middle
yeah.
C.
So okay. she sent that man back in there and he went and got that other handbell and he brought it out. And in their little town newspaper the next day, front headline, Dorothy Wilkinson saves the handbells.
Nobody didn't even get credit.
He's still mad about it. But I always say, like, as I'm talking in that chapter about like my dad's love, like, that's kind of Jesus love. Like he goes after the one, right? Mm. Like I know that's kind of a stretch of an illustration, yeah. but he really does. Like yeah. he leaves the 99 for the one. And I feel like my dad has taught me that. That's, you know, a story of him kind of funny going back after the one, but that's how Jesus works.
Well, and I also heard like how often we go through the hard circumstance and God's love gets us through the hard circumstance and he doesn't get the credit.
Right.
You know right. what I mean? Like we move on. We're yeah. like, you're going to do this book and you're going to get all these accolades. And I know you will point back to God, but it's like mm-hmm. an intentional choice to remember right. when you're in the good part, uh-huh. when you're on the other side.
Yeah.
You have to be like, oh yeah. And God helped get me through this.
Right.
It wasn't me.
Right. And that's why
I'd like to thank me.
I'd like
that?
To thank me for my perseverance in surviving
yeah,
COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
which is true. And also.
And also, but I think that's just it. Isn't that it? When you're talking about life is messy, like ask Zoe, y'all, life has gotten very messy out there. And to be able to stop and see that thread of God being good, I think is the critical component because it's so easy, like you said, to either forget or not to notice, not to pay attention. And here's the thing, like if we're only going to find God in the high points, like I knew God was there on the spiritual highs. I've seen him at the youth camp and I've seen him when I was married. But listen, like 98% of your life is the messy part. If you're like Heather and I, 98% of it is the messy part. So listen, we're going to find God in that and see his goodness because that right there, like that changes lives. It changes ours, but it changes the lives of those around us because people are watching to see how we react, what makes us tick. What's the story we're writing with our lives? Yeah. And they want to see like what makes us freak out? How do we spend our money? What makes us race down to the school? Well, let's in the mess, like let's find God's goodness and rest in that as much as we can. And that's telling an eternal story that I think we need to be about. And so that's what I hope in the book. I hope it's lots of funny with some depth. And I don't even think, I don't know, I could be wrong, Heather, but I don't think I talk about my ailments in it. Maybe plantar fasciitis comes up. I don't know.
No medical advice, thankfully.
No, not even legal advice. No advice.
No advice. And friendship is in there.
Yeah.
Friendship's a big... It's Valentine's, Galentine's. I'm hearing lots of people talking about the loneliness epidemic and yada, yada, yada. I felt like Christmas or December was full of seeing people and it was great. Lots of fun parties, not to brag, but I was invited to a lot of really fun parties.
No, that's totally bragging.
Okay. And then January, it's just like, boom, everybody's tired. It's freezing or sick. Mm-hmm. And more people I talked to were like, this January has really kicked me in the pants and it's hard to get together and see people. And yet what I have found is even though we're not in a party season, I've had a friend in the hospital really, really sick with cancer that came back. And I saw friends gather around and it's like we're talking about like, yes, it's great in the good times when we have these relationships, God and others. But then also in the Januaries of life.
Yeah.
The pits, the valleys, the sickness, cultivate these relationships for the whole time.
Right.
And you do that. Like, you're really good at, like, if I mentioned I was sick, you checked in on me. How are you doing today? Mm-hmm. Not everybody does that.
Hmm. Well, yeah.
You do that. So what are your tips for being a good friend?
You know, I saw a meme, or is it a GIF or is it a GIF? And what's the difference? Okay. Sure. I saw a GIF or a GIF or a meme or whatever it's saying. Yeah. It's hard to believe it's already January 45th. I didn't feel that way. Mm-hmm. Is it now the 90th mm-hmm. day of January?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, here's the thing about friendship that I kind of talk about in the book. And I think I got some of this from Kay Wima. Our good friend Kay talks about how her daughter went to a sleepover one time and she got in the car the next morning. She's like, it was the worst sleepover ever. There are three popular girls went in the other room and wouldn't sleep in the same room with the rest of us. And so she was so upset. And Kay's like, okay, well, how many were in the room with you? And she's like, 17. And Kay was like, okay, like, are you getting it? And I think that maybe is something I would love for us to think about a little bit in our lives, is just that we tend to value quantity over quality of friendships if we're not careful.
Yeah.
And so you might have, hopefully, these two or three or four or maybe one, whatever that solid friendship the Lord has given you. Like, lean into that one. But we start looking around, and I'm the worst, man. I think I've got friends and I'm intentional and all that. And then I see one girl's trip to, you know, wherever, Cabo on Instagram.
Playing Mahjong.
And I'm like, everybody hates me. What happened? Like, Heather's over here talking about the 3,000 parties she went to in December. I'm like, gosh, I guess I don't have friends. And totally. So I would say a couple things. I would say, and I talk about this in the book, but listen, like, dare we just get comfortable that maybe we just need three or four friends? You know, the paralytic we talk about, you know, the guy on the mat, his friends drag him up to Jesus and they can't get in. So they cut a hole in the roof and they lower him in. Like, those are the three or four friends you need, the ones that are going to take you to Jesus. You need the three or four that are going to believe in your dreams when you don't believe in them. The three or four that are going to believe in your marriage when you're struggling, and believe in your kids when they're doing stupid stuff, which is all the time with my kids. You need those three or four friends. And if you have those three or four,
yeah,
be that to them. Be intentional. You know, open yourself up to new friendships for sure. I'm not saying, like, let's all form our cliques and there's no room for anyone else. Like, you and I are, in the scheme of life, we're new friends. But
totally.
But I would just say lean into those friendships and, like, be the friend that you need. And so for me, like, I check on you because I care. But also, like, I really appreciate when people take a few minutes and, like, just follow up with me or say, hey, I remember you said this. I prayed for it. And so I try to be that back. And so I would just encourage you, like, listen, you can have new friends. That's great. But you also probably have people around you. If you don't pray about that, ask the Lord to give them to you. But the three or four friends, and then everyone else, like, great. It's great to have other distant relationships, but let's not obsess. When we're with the 17, don't worry about the three in the other room.
This is good. This is good. And I think if you're like, oh no, so-and-so's busy. Do you ever do that? Like, I won't bother them. They probably have people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I found, no, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
You I know, mm-hmm. like I thought, oh, surely so-and-so is helping this person. And then I reach out to this person and no one's helping them. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I can totally help. I can show up, you know? So if you get that, if you get that nudge or someone comes to mind, that's been something I've been trying to lean into better.
That's really practical. Yeah. Because, like, the loneliest place is sometimes in a crowd, right? And so just because someone's in a crowd doesn't mean.
But we can get in our own way. Like, we can mentally be like, oh, they have people or they're busy. Or they may not. They may have never been asked to go to dinner, or maybe never. Mm-hmm. They don't have anyone. And I don't know.
This girl reached out to me a couple weeks ago and she's like, I'm sure you're too busy and you won't want to be on my podcast, but is there any way you'd consider it? Blah, blah, blah. And my instant reaction, I'm going to be honest, was kind of like, oh, I do have a lot right now. But I'm like, no, I'm going to do this. Well, long story short, this girl is very specialized and trained in something that I didn't realize is an issue that's going on in my house with my youngest. And, like, she said one word that, like, the Lord put on my heart. And after the interview, I'm like, can you tell me about this? And it turned into this, like, she totally ministered to me. Like, it was such a gift. And so just the fact that she reached out, like, just don't assume. Yeah, I'm with you. Like, reach out.
Or, like, sometimes we think, oh, no, I'm too busy for that. There was a gal from our church and she was like, hey, I'd love to have breakfast with you. Mm-hmm. We've never. She said, and I was so impressed. I said, what led you to ask me? And it wasn't because I have a podcast. And it wasn't. She said, well.
Sidetracked.
It wasn't because of sidetrack. She just said, we see each other at church. We're acquaintances. Mm-hmm. But she said, I don't think you would list me as one of your friends. And I would like to be better friends.
Aww.
And we had the best conversation. And then she ended up, anyway, helping me with something. It's like unexpected.
Yeah.
I think if we'd open ourselves up to following the Holy Spirit's nudges, not deciding already that someone's too busy or deciding we're too busy.
Yeah.
I mean, not that we want to stretch ourselves to exhaustion.
No, but and be, like
some people
are so rude are
so exhausted. This is an exhausting season for you, though.
I know. And you keep saying my daughter was listening to our podcast the other day and she's like,
you're so good at working.
Less than 30 times you said, you're just really good at working.
And you're Kate, really good at
and
it.
And Kate goes, Heather doesn't think you can do anything but work. And I go, that might be a problem. But one other thing.
I think you can do other things, but you're very good at working.
Thanks. Let's not say that every
podcast. Your children call you blessed.
They have risen up and called me blessed. Okay, one last thing I was going to say. Be a student of other people too. Like, I think you're good at this. And like you showed, and this is like your Galentine's challenge, everyone. I think Galentine's is so dumb too, the way I said that.
I think it comes from Parks and Rec, right?
I don't know. I don't watch that show. I only watch The Chosen. Okay, but no.
If you really haven't watched Parks and Rec?
No.
Never?
No, new girl. I'm the new girl.
Oh there. My gosh. It's going to be your post-book launch challenge. Okay. Starting with season two, not season one.
Okay.
Go ahead. Galentine's challenge.
My challenge to you is this. Let's be a student of someone else and do something simple but nice and thoughtful. For example,
yeah,
Heather McFadden before, this while back, showed up at my house one day with a ginormous Diet Dr. Pepper or Diet Coke or whatever from Whataburger because that's my love language is a good old Diet Coke. Save your emails. Send them directly to Heather McFadden. Are you telling the crunchies? Is that what you call them?
The crunchies.
The crunchies. That's so insulting you call them that.
Well, what should we call them? The organics? I don't know.
The natural.
The folk. Natural.
The don't
the healthy. The people that are going to live longer. I don't know.
Those who buy Loom. No, here's your Galentine's challenge is to be observant of somebody, figure out somebody that whatever they like, just drop something by a friend's house or that you want to get to know better. Or if you know someone that like their kids needs a little help in this or that, you could just.
Well, you could do this too. You could be studying your kids. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe you don't even know your kids' favorite something. I think my boys, their favorites change. But the other day I was headed to the grocery store and I said, you know what? Food is a love language for boys. I'm going to text the ones who have phones and say, what are three things you would like from the grocery store? I was surprised at their answers.
Did somebody say beer? One of my kids would be sarcastic enough.
No. But I was surprised at what was special to them. And I thought, well, that makes them feel valued. That's a small thing. Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. Boys don't care about, you know, the thing where people put hearts on the door with all the things they love about you. If they're words of affirmation, kid, maybe that matters. But my boys just like threw them away. They didn't care.
Okay. Can we? I love that. Can I end? Are we
ready? Have you ever gotten jewelry that's shaped like a heart?
No.
Okay. Next
question. Can we end with something back from the past that is so horrifyingly traumatic? And I need to know if this happened at your school. Did they have Valentine's like whatevers that you could buy that like the student council sold?
Oh, like in Mean Girls.
Exactly. I just watched Mean Girls. Okay. So you
watched
buy
a movie. Good job.
No, I didn't see the new one. I was watching the old one.
No, I'm just saying you watched an old one.
I wasn't working. Okay. So listen, they had that in my school. Did they have that in your school growing? Sorry, homeschool. Did your mom set up a table in the entryway where
brother ordered flowers to be delivered to my mom and not to me?
Okay. Everyone, Heather, if you could stand by while I talk to our audience for a moment. Okay, you guys, they set up the table in the schoolhouse. Uh-huh. Remember, in the student council had whatever they were, okay? And they delivered them about whatever. And you know in Mean Girls, if you've watched the show, how the girl bought them and like for...
Pretended like it was from the cool girl to her and to everybody but this one girl.
Okay. You're sitting in class, you guys, and they come in. My school, they were balloons, okay? They come in with the balloons with a tag on them. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, Mary Margaret and Sissy Sue and Karen.
Do they say who they're from?
No, they just list who on them it says it, but they weren't reading who they're from and everybody. Okay. So they're handing them out, okay? Well, you go to third period and Alice Ann has 19 balloons.
She's like getting carried away.
Oh,
she's
can barely off the ground. Stand. Yeah, okay. And Cynthia Yanoff with her perm and her, no, her don't you
1986
make that.
1986 sweatshirt. What is it?
Yeah, 1985. If you don't know what that is, you need to read the book, my 1985 sweatshirt.
Yep.
Okay, so Cynthia Yanoff has none. Cynthia Yanoff had a.
If you hear that sound, guys, that's her necklace.
Oh, sorry, you guys. I had a touch of a mean streak in high school. Okay. But I had two older brothers and they were mean. So I kind of like had to hold my own. Okay. I went and bought Mean Girls. I bought myself like five before school one day. And on two of them, I put my some of my friends' boyfriends' names. The end.
And you and they knew?
No, they didn't know.
But I mean, like, you read it out loud, like, oh, Bobby.
Yes.
You naughty guy.
I didn't say it that way. You said it like that. You're naughty.
Guilty.
Okay, so anyway, I wish you all the best Valentine's. May your children not have a student. May your children be homeschooled. May there not be a Cynthia Yanoff in the junior high building. And may you buy Life is Messy, God is Good, and know that he has been good despite
See, sometimes life is messy because of circumstances that just happen because it's a broken world, right? Sometimes we create our own mess, Cynthia. And I think that you have given that prime example, y'all.
Okay. Well, have a good one.
Thanks for getting sidetracked with us.
Yeah.
With love.
With love.
With love. Sending all the love. See, I wear my love sweater.
I wish I had a handbell that could play us out.
Oh, I'm adding handbells for sure. Okay, thanks for tracking with us, y'all. I hope that you got a laugh or two in there. The guilty pleasure comment cracks us up, and we kind of get it. Like, with the heaviness of all the things in the world, it's just good to laugh. And so we're thrilled to be a part of that in your little journey, okay? And don't forget, please enter to win to join us. We would love to have you on the show with us, and let's support Cynthia on her book launch day. If you can just reshare one of her posts, if you're not following on Instagram, let's fix that right now. Go find Cynthia Yanoff on Instagram. And then when she shares about her book, put it in your little Insta story. It does make a difference. Put a little link to order the book. I'm just telling you, as an author who's released a couple books, it's no small thing when you show support and highlight someone. So let's do that. Let's all rally around Cynthia. And I'm going to just pray over this book and this message. Lord, we thank you that you can't change, that you are who you are and who you've always been since the beginning of time, with the messy lives of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of the people in the Bible who have been humans in a broken world. And you have faithfully loved us, guided us, cared for us. And even if it's a mess of our own making, you are so kind and good to bring order to our chaos. And so, Lord, I pray for anyone who today is feeling the heaviness, the weight of their messy life, that you would whisper words of grace and kindness and love and just your presence. God, we're thankful that we are very aware of our lack of control, and it is the rest comes from just sitting in your sovereignty and realizing that you are not out of control and that you are aware of even the hardest things that are in our life. And so, Lord, may we lean on your full, capable self and release all our attempts at false control. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, y'all, join me back here on Monday. We're actually going to be talking about something super practical, how to feed your kids. What do you need to feed your kids? Y'all sent in great questions for the nutritionist. Casey Barnes is going to be on the show. So join me here on Monday. All right. Have a great weekend. Adios. Bye.